From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Our gospel lesson is from Matthew 22, 1-14, followed by Reverend Moll's sermon entitled, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, Tell those who have been invited, Look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets, and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. Those slaves went out into the streets, and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.
Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I expect that you are no different from our family. We have been invited to a few banquets and meals and events in our lifetime. And to some of these, we really want to go. We would die to get on the guest list. It might be the event of the year. And then there are other times we might say, how do I get out of this one? Yeah, why did they invite me? I do not want to go. And you dream up some excuse to stay home. Today there are three readings, including the psalm that was our suggested one for this Sunday and we used in the call to worship that refer to banquets or feasts. Perhaps we'd say 4 out of 4 since Paul, who wrote Philippians, was pretty joyful even though he was sitting in prison at the time. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That's a favorite verse of mine. It's not, you don't find these as normal words for one who's incarcerated. If you're not having a feast, or he did, certainly the words were something to feast on. But getting back to the banquets of our other readings, where there are banquets, there are guests. It sounds like a lavish, joyous event, and the guests are valued. In the first reading from Isaiah, those words were in there, On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines that are strained clear. this is not just biscuits and gravy and orange juice. This is something great. And these people at that time needed some hope, but Isaiah was answering the call. And he was leading them back to the mountain that would be most important to them, the mountain where Jerusalem and the temple are located. And the thoughts of victory and rejoicing needed to be in their hearts again following these 50 years away in captivity. Picture yourself sitting down at this banquet. Rich foods, well-aged wines. There is rejoicing indeed. The response can only be one of thanks and praise. And it says in that reading, it will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. To us, this becomes a heavenly banquet indeed. And there is hope for a great future for us as well with our God. In Psalm 23, that shepherd song, psalm, we find such care and comfort. Having walked through the valley of the shadow of death, that person did not stay there. That person did not plan to camp out there. But it goes on to say, you prepare a table before me. Or as one translation says, you treat me to a feast with while my enemies watch. You honor me as a guest. And even more here than the green pastures, you fill my cup until it overflows. During the tough times of life, you are there with a feast to nourish us through. So we rejoice and commit to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a great last word, forever. That's a long time. What a joyous, wonderful banqueting with our Lord is pictured here. But this third banquet is the one that's more puzzling, the one from Matthew. Again, it is a parable about the kingdom of heaven. Again, the sparks are flying. We ended last week with the chief priests and the Pharisees wishing to arrest Jesus, but they were afraid to do so. So this one begins once more. Once more, Jesus spoke with this parable. A king had a wedding banquet for his son. It was to be a lavish affair. The invitations had been sent out, and preparations were made, and the day had arrived, and the king said, now we're ready, and sent the servants out to tell the people it's time to come. So what did they do? They did not come. Or as you could look at this word, it means they were not willing to come. It's not a situation where they cannot come. They just do not want to. Their not wanting to attend indicates that they did not view the invitation with honor and privilege, even though it came from the king. So again, send more servants, give them the news, spike it up a notch. The king had not only said come, but he prepared a dinner. He killed the fatted calves, not the skinny culls. All the fixings were there to go with it. And even if they don't like the king, perhaps they will come because of all the good free food. Prime rib, leg of lamb, cooked to perfection. No deal. They just made light of it. We're not interested. One went to the farm, another to a business. Some mistreated, even killed some of the servants. They want to do what they want to do, when they want to do it. One goes to his field, the other to the business. These are not excuses, but personal concerns that they think are more important than the king's invitation to this most important celebration for the son. It reminds me of this little song that I believe the medical mission sisters had out at one time on the wedding banquet. It really goes a little more with Luke's version of this banquet, but it goes something like this with the chorus. I cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. I have married a wife, I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused, I cannot come. Yeah. Well, needless to say, the king was enraged. He sent out the troops and wiped out the ungratefuls. And then the king did another thing. He sent more servants, and this time he said, we got a lot of people that never were invited in the first place. Go out into the main streets. Invite everyone that you can find. Makes no difference if they're rich or poor, good or bad. Tell them to come because the wedding hall needs to be filled and all his food is ready. After all, it is the king's son who's being celebrated. And the celebration would go on and there would be rejoicing. I found an interesting comment in a commentary concerning this event that brings it a little closer to home here. What do we do to make sure that our wedding halls are filled with people on Sunday mornings? How concerned are we that they are filled? This is our wedding hall. Are we concerned enough to do something about it? You see, the first part of the parable has some strong connections with our worship services. Does God not invite us here? Are we also the Lord's servants who are told to go out to the whole world and invite and tell them that everything is ready? See, and it talks about repeated goings, if we look at that. Continue to go until the hall is filled, until our knaves are filled. Can we ever think that we can stop going out into the streets to gather both the good and the bad, the rich and the poor? Isn't it part of worship to celebrate the wedding feast, at least the foretaste of that great feast that is to come? Or are some people absent because there is more pressing business that they think is more important? Doesn't this sound like the story of the church? However, we probably shouldn't send the troops down and burn their houses down as a result. We better cut that part of it. And then he said, if everybody would come all the time, pastoral visiting would be a thing of the past. Oh, wonder of wonders, huh? We were at a meeting yesterday in Springfield for the United Church of Christ Western Association, and a seminary professor, our president, talked to us, and he said, you know, we have to be serious about this. And he said, there has been a 10% decline in church attendance across the board in the last 5 years. And that got to be pretty serious stuff. And then he also said in the United Church of Christ, 10 years ago, 60% of the churches had over 50 in attendance across the country. Today, he said that figure has dropped to 50%. Not a good sign either. Well, that's a sober thought for all of us to think about. Why is the banquet hall not filled? Is it because we are not here? And therefore we don't invite others? Is it because we forget to go out and invite others to come in along with them? There's another problem, and that is in that second part of the parable. The king noticed that all was well, except for one who had no wedding robe on, this ungrateful. Friend, how did you get in here without the wedding robe? He was speechless. He was thrown out of the banquet. This person did not recognize the honor the king had bestowed on him, nor the goodness of what he offers. I mean, it was prime rib and not spam. We need to recognize the setting. For all such occasional guests, they were expected to wear clothing that was both longer than the worn by the ordinary people in the working world, and also newly washed. Those who could afford would wear white, but it was sufficient for ordinary people just to get as close to white as they could by washing it. Or even poor people might only have a patched tunic to wear. And they would often borrow clothes from their neighbors for the special festivals that would happen. There is no reason to suppose that once invited, these people had no time to go home to change their clothes or borrow clothes, because normally there'd be time. Weddings went on for days. Perhaps the king even had some garments available for them, you know, like some of these restaurants in fancy cities where they may have some jackets for the men if they say jackets required and you forgot to bring one. Or perhaps they came not to honor the king, but just to get that quick leg of lamb and get out of there. In this whole reading today, then, we find some different but not conflicting messages. That first part of the parable was bad news for the religious leaders rejecting Jesus, but it was good news for those who saw themselves outside the kingdom of God. The good and the bad, the sinners and the tax collectors, they would say, they can come. We notice God's gracious inviting to this feast. And for us, we are invited to the kingdom of God. That second parable, part of it, those now in the kingdom, perhaps there's also some new expectations. To be a Christian is like being invited to the wedding feast. We have put on Christ, a new creation. We are clothed in baptism. Now, how do we wear it? It's not just like coming to a ham and turkey festival and said, give me another turkey leg or ham sandwich. That will not work. Or do we truly rejoice in being here? See, these statements lead to some self-examination about the smugness and laziness of being on the inside, in the kingdom, in a congregation. We might say that God does not want us just to wallow around in his divine grace, but God expects more of us. In our congregations, where there's a wide range of participation in the life of the community, in the disciplines of the faith, in the bearing of fruit, I'm sure difference in talents. But throughout Matthew, there have been reference to those who might just call themselves nominal believers, where if we wrote a letter to God, we'd sign it casually, yours. It's not sufficient then, Matthew would say, just to hold membership, to sit at the table as the invited guest. What is being promoted is doing the Father's will, bearing fruit, being properly garbed. So, my friends, this parable helps us to look in the mirror, to take a look at ourselves. Guess who's coming to dinner? We are. We are the ones who now are invited. We are the ones out in the streets, the good and the bad. Come on in. We made the list. May we rejoice and respond. But now, how are we doing at honoring the King? Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess our faith, the Apostles' Creed, shall we rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray for the church and those in need and all of God's creation. Come near us, Lord God. Let your church rejoice at your banquet where all are invited and welcomed, washed and fed, forgiven and chosen. Let the faithful gather here rejoice in praise and singing, word and deed, unrestrained from worry and unchanged from fear. Help us to be your faithful disciples. O Lord, hear our prayers. Come near us, O God. Again this week we hurt when tragedy strikes so close to home. We hurt with the loss of Elizabeth Eidson, a young life snuffed out in an accident. Comfort the family, heal them, and help them heal from their wounds. Comfort the hearts of those, even some here, who count themselves as friend to the family. May the shrouds of sorrow be lifted from their hearts and lives. O Lord, hear our prayers. Come near us, O God. Let your creation rejoice in green pastures and beside still waters, on mountaintops and harvested fields, along city streets and down country roads and throughout the valleys. We grieve once more as we see the fires burning in California, snuffing out lives and many homes and communities. Be with them as they grieve and pick up the pieces. O Lord, hear our prayers. Come near us, O God. Reach out in love to those who are suffering and ill and in need of your healing strength. Comfort them with your compassionate hand. O Lord, hear our prayers. Come near us, O Lord. Let those who wait for you rejoice with all the saints, whose names are in the book of life, and who now sit at the great feast with you. O Lord, hear our prayers. Trusting in your mercy and goodness, we bring before you these prayers, whatever else you see that we need. In the name of the one who sets us free, Jesus Christ, our Savior, praying together the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Go forth, strengthened to do the work of God, extending the invitation to the eternal banquet, and rejoicing in God, let your gentleness be made known to everyone. May the God who created you, the Christ who redeems you, and the Spirit who empowers you, be and abide with you this day and always. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.